Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, and I think you're in for a treat today, but so am I. We have a guest host today joining us, and it is Corey Chadwick, who has become a very good friend of ours. Corey is from Lyceum, formerly known as the Mental Gym. And Corey, it's so great to have you with us today.
Robin, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me do this.
Well, if anyone out there, and I know a lot of people have, if you've met Corey, you know he's an absolute people person. Like, I don't think, Corey, I've ever met someone that didn't like you immediately. And it's been really cool to watch how you build such strong relationships with people. And as a result of that, you've made today's guest appearance possible. And you gave us a great introduction. And I really enjoyed our first conversation with this person. So no further ado, joining us today is Margot Pulmerder. Hopefully I didn't butcher your name. There we go. Margot is a dynamic people leader whose 25 plus year career has spanned multiple industries and leadership roles. She began her career in advertising as a media director, then spent 15 years as a camp director overseeing camper recruitment, staff development, financial operations, and daily logistics at an overnight summer camp. Over the past 5 years, she has transitioned into people and operations, shaping and scaling company culture, employee development, and talent strategies. Margot is currently head of HR at Canex Financial, where she is driving the people strategy to support long-term growth and business continuity. Previously, she was VP of People and Operations at Perpetua, a global SaaS company where she supported international expansion across 7 countries and navigated the organization through 2 major acquisitions. Margot is a certified executive and leadership coach and holds a BA from the University of Western. Margot, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks, Corey. I'm so excited to be here with both of you. And yeah, it's been a fun ride since I've met the two of you. So lovely to be here.
It has been a really fun ride. And again, I go back to, and we'll give Chasm down at Startwell a shout out because it was his event that we met each other. And of course, I was hanging out with Corey and I was watching him. And I wouldn't say work the room because that wasn't what's happening. Corey just attracts people over to him. And he made such, I left there with, I'm going to say at least 4, maybe 5 introductions that day. And it was kind of cool for me because the relationships that Corey has already built out there, I was able to leverage that. So when he did the introduction, said, hey, Robin's a great guy, you should meet him too. That just extends and it just makes those introductions so much easier. And then my conversation with you as a result, Margot, just flowed so easily. So Corey, you've got a real skill in that. And I think you're doing a great job out there.
Thanks,
Margot, here's where I wanted to start because that's an impressive resume or bio that we just got into, right? And I'm always so curious to talk to people like yourself. So we can see you've worked across diverse industries and teams. Can you talk to us about what you've learned about fostering real employee engagement, you know, ways that make people actually feel connected, valued, and motivated to do their best work?
Yeah, I'll start by saying, I think sometimes things just look better on paper. Like it's not as impressive as it might appear. But yeah, there are so many things that I follow that are just really basic and really simple, but I think they can be quite effective. And yeah, I mean, for this, like you just treat people like people. It's such a simple concept, but when you take the time to understand and get to know people and what drives them and you talk to them and you share information and you listen, listening is huge, and you communicate, like, again, so simple and so effective, but when you get to know people on a human level, like it takes everything in a work or social environment to like that next level. And a funny story, I was kind of like looking at my bookshelf before we started and I have all these various people books that I read, particularly when I sort of jumped into the startup world. But this one, I bought this book. Funny story. So when I left the camp space in October 2019, so pre-pandemic, sort of like deer in the headlights, had no idea what I wanted to do and had gone from advertising and then this camp space. And a mutual friend of all of ours, Jody Kovitz, had invited me to a conference, a Move the Dial conference that she was doing in November 2019. And I went just because I was like, you know what, I'll go immerse myself in people and network and get to know some fabulous women and see what this is all about. So I had very little expectations, but I knew if Jody was running a conference, it was going to be good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So went down. And for those who don't know, Jody is the CEO of the HRPA. So yeah, like super professional, fabulous woman. And I went to these sessions and I wasn't really paying attention because, again, like I wasn't really in the headspace. I wasn't thinking like, what do I want to do with my career? But I walked into a room and there was a speaker. I don't know if you guys know her. Her name is Erica Keswin. And she wrote a book called Bring Your Human to Work. And that really changed everything for me. It was like this light bulb moment. I lit up and I was like, oh, I'm awake. And I came home right away and I bought her book and I read it. And I remember she was talking about this one story, how she worked at a company and she sort of recognized that, you know, in Q4 around Christmas time, life is so stressful and there's so much going on. And how could she make life easier for her employees to sort of like do the work they needed to do? And she recognized like for parents, you know, that Christmas shopping time is so chaotic and you have to wrap gifts and there's just so much you need to do in your personal life, but you're also so busy because Q4, we all know Q4, it's like this mad rush in most businesses. So she brought in somebody to wrap gifts for her employees. She said, everyone bring your gifts to work, dump them off. We will have them wrapped. And it literally was like the smallest thing, but it shifted this whole dynamic. I imagine the way she explained it was like, it shifted this whole dynamic at this company. So it was like, oh, you understand like what I am dealing with outside of work. And that to me was like, you recognize me as a human, as a parent, as a stressed individual who's trying to show up at work and do their best, but has a lot of like crap going on in their outside world. Sorry for, you know, if I can't say that on recording. But to me, that was such a pivotal moment when I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to help people feel like they can come to work, be themselves, be their best human and deliver the best work, but treat them like a valuable person. And so I think it goes back to like when people feel seen and heard, they feel valued. When you feel valued, you feel that sense of connection. When you feel that sense of connection, you're more motivated, inspired, and then you want to work hard. And it's, again, to me, such a simple concept. And it doesn't matter if you're a manager, if you're a camp director, if you're a camp counselor, or you're, you know, the CEO of a huge organization. When you lead and try to connect and get to know your team and what makes them tick and how they behave, to me, that's everything. And that's sort of the basis for how you communicate and what you share and you sort of understand what they need. That to me, yeah, it's like everything. And so that's why I sort of pivoted into this role. And embarrassingly, I was like, oh, I want to go be in like the people space and I want to do people things without really even recognizing that people was just a fancy word for HR at the time. And so I was like, yeah, I didn't even really know what I was kind of like jumping into, but I knew that I wanted to create a space for that. And that's really how I think I have run everything I've done, is like whether you're in my space in advertising or camp or startup or fintech, treat people like good humans and you know, they'll deliver great work. So
I love that idea of treating people like people. It's one of the reasons why I do the podcast like this. I find humans to be so interesting and I'm eternally curious about why people think the way they do, how they go through life, especially people I hang around with that you just tend to surround yourself with similar people, but every once in a while you get someone with such a different opinion and it's fascinating to have a conversation. And I love when people are open to thinking, well, that's a new take on something, right? So I just have this fascination as to why we do the podcast. But I wanted to ask you something, Margot, because you might have experience in this where I don't. I was at an event yesterday, and one of the questions that came up during question and answer was this fellow stood up and he was running an organization. And he says, as a people leader running a team, especially as your team grows, you're not going to like everybody or everything about that person. We're all different people. There's going to be certain things that maybe that person believes in or has a value around that you don't necessarily align with. How do you bring together that team? And as you said, recognize them, allow them to bring their best self to work, allow them to do great work, still be a great part of the organization, even if maybe there's one or two values or things that they do that you don't necessarily align with or like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there's so many ways that you can sort of approach that. To me, it's one, taking a step back and sort of being aware of the way you are feeling. So it's funny, I just actually 2 days ago did a lunch and learn at my company on manager training and talked a lot about emotional intelligence and kind of touched on this, ironically, about, you know, that moment of doing some self-awareness checks. And that to me is like a really big part of being a leader and being in a space with other people is recognizing how you are feeling so that then you can take a little pause and say, okay, like this person, we do not align, we do not agree, they rub me the wrong way. So just kind of like taking a step to recognize that and be aware of those feelings, then you could probably use some of Corey's techniques of just getting in the right frame of mind and being appropriate. So I'd sort of say, one, it takes some self-reflection and some self-awareness to say, okay, how am I going to put myself in the right space? Realizing that you do not have to like everybody, you do not have to agree with everyone, but you have to be respectful and you have to be kind. I have been saying that forever and ever. Like I would tell people in the camp space all the time, like imagine 15, 13-year-old girls all living together for 8 weeks, like you're going to want to slaughter each other. But if you kind of go with the idea that you just have to be kind, like drive that. And so, yeah, I think it's that sort of awareness that people have diverse thoughts. People are different. Respect that. You don't have to agree with it, but have a level of respect. And again, like, as you said, curiosity, right? Like, okay, maybe I could actually learn something. Maybe they can open my eyes to a different way of thinking and I can grow and become a better individual, a better colleague, a better leader by actually listening to them and saying, okay, like, so don't put your guard up right away and be like, you're frustrating. I don't want to be in a room with you. It's like, okay, take a breath, see what they have to say, come at it with curiosity. Like, why do you actually believe the things that you believe? Help me understand and see that. And then hopefully you can kind of like find a nice path to sort of work alongside them. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that theme. I'm going to remember that of being kind and respectful. Like that's kind of table stakes, right? No matter what, you don't have to necessarily be best of friends or anything, but you always have to bring kindness and respect into the workplace, especially. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't confuse kindness with being nice all the time either, right? It's be kind, treat right. people with respect and like adults, and people really rise to that. So I love what you're saying here, Margo.
Yeah. And I do always say that you don't have to be nice and you don't have to bend over backwards, but you have to be kind.
Be kind. That's fantastic. Fun fact, by the way, Robin, Margo and I and Jody, you mentioned Jody, all went to the same camp growing up. Margo mentioned camp a few times, so that was fun.
Yeah.
Margo, so you've held senior leadership roles across people and operations. From your experience, what would you say is one key ingredient to building a high-performing culture that also feels good to be a part of?
Yeah, I love this question because I feel like nowadays everything I listen to is all like, what's so stressful in the HR world and what's keeping you up at night? And yeah, like I love this question because no one ever asked like what feels good. And so it's been so long since someone has sort of said like what feels good about your job and doing what you're doing and building these cultures. And I mean, in theory, there should be so many things that feel good, but I would probably say don't default to no. And I think that people really believe that if you ask HR something, like they're going to say, no, we're here to follow the rules and don't deviate. And yeah, I think that's kind of like the traditional view of the HR space. But I'm a huge believer if you can say yes, do it. And maybe it's because I don't come from a traditional HR background. Like, I don't know all the rules. I don't know what's right and wrong. And I ground myself on logic. Everything I do has to be logical. And so I'm not saying default to yes because I want people to like me and just want to feel good all the time. But if you can say yes, why wouldn't you? And so I've often lived by this from when I started working way back when. And I saw this when I was in the startup space and I would want to say yes to a request. People be like, oh, well, if you say that, if you say yes to that person, it's going to have a ripple effect and you are opening a door that you may not want to open and no good deed goes unpunished and all these things. But I think it goes a long way because it, again, goes back to that human level of understanding that fair isn't always equal. Like not everybody has to have the exact same thing. It's grounded on what you need. And so sometimes somebody needs something different and that can be an accommodation. It could be just some different ways of working. And yeah, I'll give you an example if you want, because this one always stands out in my mind, but I'm sort of feeling like right now my brain is going to my time in the camp space, but it was just, you know, I worked with thousands of people, right? Like it's 15 years, we're 500 people a summer. So it literally like just, I was immersed in all things people. And we had this one counselor and he was like A++ counselor. Like literally, you don't know where this individual got his energy. He was the Energizer Bunny and he was probably in his early 20s. And he was in charge of the youngest boys. So like 7, 8-year-old. So that in itself, like exhausting. And he probably had, I don't know, 10 of these individual little boys. So that's just a handful. And so he would go about every day and he'd walk around camp and he'd have these children hanging off of him. You were just like, who is this man that has so much energy? And we would just sit in awe of this individual and sort of think like, how do we clone this employee? And I was like, sooner or later, he's going to fizzle out. And week after week, he just kept going and it was unbelievable. And then around like week 5, or maybe it was 6, I don't even remember when, but he started getting a little quieter, like still amazing, but not the same like pep. And I really, really, really remember this day because we had this day where people would leave for the day and they would go on these campsites and everyone would leave camp. And you know, it was just a relaxing day and he was getting all his stuff ready. And I happened to walk by and he looked just exhausted. And I sort of said like, are you okay? He was like, yeah, I am, you know, just I'm tired. And we sort of just chatted a bit and he was about to walk away. And I said, you know, do you want to stay back for the day? And he literally looked at me. He put his hands, and he was like a really tall individual, and he put his hands on his thighs and he sort of like slumped over and he was like almost collapsed. And I was like, oh my God, like what did I just say? And he looks up and he's like, I can do that. And I was like, well, not all the time, no, but if you need to today and this was really going to help you, then yeah, that's okay. And it was like this massive shift. So he did stay and everyone's like, oh, Margo, you shouldn't have done that. Now every counselor is going to want to stay and they're going to say they're tired. And I actually, funny enough, didn't have one person say one thing to me because I believe, and I like to believe, that people recognized that he needed it. They didn't, he did. And he took that day and he came back refreshed and energized. And the thing was why it was so fundamental, because it was positive for him, but it was positive for his kids. It was positive for the business. Everybody around him got to benefit from his re-energized state. And so, yeah, I just felt like that was a moment where I did something, and it's not to say like, oh, I'm so fabulous and I'm patting myself on the back, but it was that I saw him. I saw and I recognized what he needed, and that resonated with him. And it shifted everything. And I think that when you bend and you adapt and you show people that you understand them and what they might need, that's huge. And so, yeah, I could have just said like, no, you can't stay back if he had asked or something. But I think so many times people default to no because it's easier, it's cleaner, it requires less work, you're not going to have to explain things. But I just always feel like if I'm going to make a decision where I'm going to deviate or say yes to something when really everyone thinks I should say no, if I can rationalize and if someone questions me and if I can come back and give them like a logical reason based on reason and logic, again, those two things.
Love reason and logic for sure.
Yeah. Like why wouldn't I? I just think there's so many more opportunities when you open doors instead of close them. And so that just fosters an environment where people want to work and they want to stay and they want to like dig in, because you're creating this space for people to not always just hear the word no. And so to me, as a leader, as an HR employee, like if I can say yes, and again, it's not to like make everybody like me, but if I can say yes, because it shifts something and makes people feel understood, that to me is a feel good, fantastic, build a great culture moment.
Nice. That's great. People want to be seen and feel valued and feel appreciated. And it's something that I think everybody knows on a conceptual level, but people really struggle with. People struggle to feel that way. And a lot of leaders struggle to help their employees feel that way. And as you're describing there, what a massive difference it makes. And it goes well beyond Zoom happy hours and pizza parties and things like that, right? It's actually seeing them for who they are and helping them show up at their best and step into their potential. I mean, this is what you're talking about with this counselor, and I'm sure with all of your people too. So I love the way you describe that.
Awesome.
Margo, one of the things as you're chatting about, because I think we can unpack that a little bit further. And in my world, in the benefit space, I always hear attract and retain. Right? Attract and retain good employees. That's what drives a business, right? And I look at the costs of finding someone and then bringing them in and doing the training only to have them leave.
Painful.
Right? And we get into conversations. Yeah, we get in discovery meetings. We get into calls like, what does that cost you? And depending on the firm, that cost can be pretty high. I want to talk about the retention side. But I did want to make a point of also letting you know, as a guest here, after 260 plus episodes, this has happened more than a few times. A chief people officer, in particular a chief people officer, that kind of role, they will come back to me months after the podcast has gone out and said, you're not going to believe this story. And I've heard it a couple of times, that someone out there in the ether heard the podcast, loved what this person, you know, represented, and sent a resume in saying, I heard this podcast. You're the type of leader I want to work with and mentor under. How do we make this happen? And off air, I can tell you some of the people, but it was kind of cool. But from the retention side, and I think that was a great story you shared about seeing that person, allowing them the space to say, I need this day to recover. But are there some other things that you've seen that's really moved the needle in terms of the retention piece and keeping people at an organization, and specifically maybe with smaller firms or smaller organizations that really don't have the resources of these massive firms, right? So in terms of doing what they do to retain people. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like I've never worked at a big firm, so I don't even have that sort of basis of a different perspective. When I started in advertising, I was employee number two in a Toronto office, and there was like eight in Montreal. And yeah, now there are a few thousand people, but Camp Space. And then again, SaaS company I joined is employee 40. So, and then even the company I'm with now is only 40 people. I'll say the SaaS company didn't, you know, exponentially grow. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to say that there's some like magic powder that I would recommend sprinkling on, you know, a business to sort of keep that high retention level. But I think, again, it goes back to creating a space where people feel valued and actually want to work, and in creating inspiration, like having a leadership team that actually communicates clearly, provides transparency, shares information. Again, like you can't always share everything, but the more you include people, the more engaged they are, like they actually really want to work hard. Like I'll sort of actually change my tune or add a different perspective here as I'm talking. It's sort of like when we were interviewing people at the tech startup that I was at, if you're a person that wants to clock in and clock out 9 to 5, there's lots of jobs that you can do that. But we were very transparent right when we hired people. If that's what you're looking for, this is not the space for you. And so I think it starts from like that very first interview. So how do you retain people? You are upfront and honest in everything that you do, and you set them up for success. And you say like, this is what you're walking into. Are you the type of person that wants this? Because some people don't. And it's not about making people feel badly about it. All the power to you. You might have so much going on in your home life. Like the idea of working past 5:05 is just not feasible. And there's no disrespect and there's no shame. And so I think it's creating those moments for people to really understand what they're getting into, what they're expected of, being clear. So it ties to everything that I so strongly believe in of transparency and communication and what you share and the way you share, understanding that people have different ways of learning, different ways of processing information. And I feel like I'm a bit of a broken record, but it's about understanding the human and saying, okay, this is the way you learn. I'm going to tailor my communication to the way you need to be taught, because then I'm setting you up for success and I'm making you feel valuable and understood. And I know, okay, I need you to dig in. This is going to be a totally brutal month. We've got XYZ coming down the pipe and we're going to be working our butts off, but this is what's on the other side. And you're setting them up for success by saying, like, yes, this is going to be a shit month. Yes, you're going to work your butt off. But on the other side, we're going to relax and we're going to party and we're going to do whatever. And so just communicating and being transparent helps them feel like they want to work, they want to stay at this type of company because they've got my back. They understand me. They're helping me. And that, to me, helps people want to stay.
I'm so glad you brought up that point. And it's something that I was guilty of early on my career. And I still see it with some of the founders that I work with. I thought early in my career that when we were hiring people, I was hiring them to do a role. I don't need to share everything with you because I felt like I don't need to burden you. I'm one of the founders. That's the burden that I will take. Like, I will take all the stress. And exactly to your point, over the years, I found people will work extra hard for you if you include them in that conversation and you include them in those struggles and you include them in those potential wins as well. And I think a lot of people are like me in that they think, I'm just going to go start a company and I'm going to do this and I'm going to hire people and they're going to do a specific role. So I guess my question to you, Margo, is you're coming into a tech firm or a startup, SaaS firm, whatever it is, and you've got a founder like me in the early days that just says, I don't need to worry about that. I'm just tell them to do what they need to do. How do you deal with that founder to make sure you kind of say, no, actually, this is the way we need to operate and it's going to help you in the long term?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I've certainly worked with people who don't want to take advice and they're going to operate the way they do. So there's different approaches. I'd say one, share the data with that leader on why communication, transparency, everything is so important. I'm sure there'll be some high churn and you can say, hey, let's try a different tactic and see if that improves retention. I think you try and come at it with some logic and understanding as to that human side and why it's so important. I think the reality is some people are just, I am not going to change every individual. Some people are just going to say, yeah, sorry, no, not my style. And I have to respect that. I've always felt like I'm paid to do a job. I'm going to do it to the best I can. I also set realistic expectations. I can't change every human. So I'm going to hope that I can sort of show them with data and with proof and logic and reasoning and say, like, this is what you can gain by sort of changing your ways and leading in a different mode. I'm hopeful that like 90% of the time it will work out. And if not, I would try and do my best to sort of support him or her in the background, or even just say, you know what, if you can't take that on, but this is what I really feel employees need, are you comfortable with me sort of assuming those responsibilities? Because I do passionately believe in certain ways of operating. So I think, yeah, I'd sort of say, hey, I'm going to take this on for you. I'm going to be that communicator. I'm going to make sure that emails go out and share what needs to be shared. Obviously, there's a level of respect there. If someone says, yeah, don't you dare, like, we can't share this, I have to respect that, right? It's not my company. But when I join a company, I'm like all in. So I am going to do everything I can to help that leader succeed, help the business succeed. I mean, it's a business, right? I only have a job if the business does well. So yeah, I would just try and really help open the eyes of that individual. And that's some of the work I also do with my executive coaching of really helping people expand the way they think, understand that there could be moments of discomfort and that's okay. That's how you grow. You have to push a little bit, but communication is just everything to me.
Nice. This is great because you're talking about people strategy and business goals, and sometimes they fit really nicely together and sometimes there's some conflict, right? And a lot of organizations struggle to align people strategy with business goals. What would you say is your playbook for making sure that HR isn't just at the table, but really helping drive measurable business impact too?
Yeah, I mean, I can't operate in a world where I'm just a seat at the table or I'm just like HR in the background. So to me, and it's funny, like I've had these similar discussions with people and like there's no world in which people strategy and business strategy do not work together. They have to align. So, great. You know, I don't see myself as traditional HR. And I think that's actually my strength because I see myself as somebody who's helping drive the business. And so my strength is sort of like digging in and understanding what makes this business tick? What does it need to succeed? What do the leaders need and want? And then sort of like figuring out, okay, what are all the pieces? Who are all the people and the teams that we have? What are their strengths? What are the levers that we need to pull to optimize their growth and their impact? And then finding out how to create that environment. And so whenever I've started at an organization, I go and talk to ideally everyone, because normally I'm in a small enough company where I can, you know, even if we had 150 staff, I'll go speak one-on-one with all of them and understand, like, what do you need to succeed? What do you as a team lead or as a manager, as a director need from your team? And what are the strategic goals that you have? And understanding that from a business perspective. And yeah, I find it interesting when people talk about business strategy and don't realize you can't succeed without your people. And the people can't succeed if the business doesn't succeed, right? Like, right. I am a bit old-fashioned. It's like, I am very clear. This is a job. I am paid to work and do a job. And it's not a hobby. And so I have to show up and I have to get the work done and I need to dig in. And if the business is falling short, then we're all in trouble, right? Like if you're not hitting your business objectives, well, then guess what? Unfortunately, you're going to have to do some layoffs and that's a people issue. So to me, business growth is people growth. And you have to align your people strategy with that people strategy. And it starts by talking to everybody and understanding what leaders need, going again with logical of like, what does the business need? Well, your people have to support that.
Yep.
And it's really like understanding the roles and responsibilities and understanding the teams and the competencies and how you all work together to hit those long-term goals. So if you want business growth, that's people growth.
Yeah.
And it has to go hand in hand. So just being HR to sit there to do conflict resolution or lay people off if things don't go well, that's not my way of operating. I don't even know that world. I'm just like a loudmouth Gemini who's just going to, you know, tell you what I think you need to do for your business. Like, that's just the way I operate.
Yeah. You said it, right? Business growth is people growth. They don't happen independent of each other. They're so heavily intertwined. And I'm curious if you ever find leaders who don't see that or who push back on that and how you might address that. Because I hear from a lot of HR leaders that they've got this great people strategy and they know exactly what you know. And yet they're facing resistance from their CEO or their COO on, well, we got to do this. We got to drive this metric or meet our quarterly numbers. Meanwhile, you know, your people drive your business. So what do you do in those situations?
Advocate, advocate, advocate. Like just you go in, you use reasoning, you use logic, you use every tool in your toolbox to sort of help them see. Like it goes back to what we started at the very beginning of the conversation when Robin was talking about curiosity, right? Try to open their eyes to a different way of looking. Try and have them be curious as to why we might need to go in a different direction. Again, at the end of the day, I'm not a business owner. I have to accept that not everyone is going to take my recommendations. People are going to disagree. I fully appreciate that. There are so many times where I will say, here's what I think. And someone will say, I disagree. And I'm like, okay, tell me why. Okay, I get that. Again, like there are so many times where I am not right. I'll give a recommendation. Someone will give a really good, strong point as to why. And I'll be like, okay. But yeah, I think you do as much as you can. And you sort of advocate as much as you can and hope that people listen and see how things go.
Nice. Well, Margo, this is the portion of the episode where Al would usually be here asking his signature question, but I thought I would pass that along to Corey today to ask that question. Corey, take it away.
I got some big shoes to fill here, right? All right. So Margo, a society grows great when old people plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. When you think about the long-term impact of your work and the culture that you've shaped, the careers that you've influenced, what proverbial trees are you planting?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I actually touched on this earlier, but it really is be kind. And I think as a parent, a leader, a manager, a peer, like I want to believe that I've taught others the value of kindness and understanding, and that I've made people feel seen and heard. And so be kind, be understanding, be open, be transparent, be patient. And I love managing others, not because I like bossing people around and delegating work, but I truly, truly believe like there's so much value in helping others learn and thrive. And I still talk to so many people from all walks of life that I've worked with, whether I was their manager or just kind of a colleague. And I really try to create a safe space for people to feel that they can learn, they can make mistakes, they can grow, they can ask questions. And I think that comes from leading with kindness and compassion and understanding. And yeah, like I hope that my kids will feel this way. I hope that everyone I've worked with will sort of feel that I create an environment for them to feel, like actually really feel that I cared about them and that I took the time to understand them and foster a space for them to grow and be kind and just do their best work. And so, yeah, I hope others will do that too, that there will be this snowball effect of kindness and understanding and a desire to help people grow. Because I think I'm fairly older in my life, but I am fully embracing growth. And I think that there's just endless opportunities for us all to adapt and grow and be kinder and be more understanding and create these environments for people to show up in their best possible way to grow and be better people. And that just like has a ripple effect of hopefully goodness. And that's, yeah, that's what I hope to leave for my kids and those I worked with is just, yeah, leave your place a little better than where you started.
The ripple effect.
Yes, I love that theme. And that's a great place to end the podcast. Margot, this has been the first of many conversations, I'm sure. We've already connected offline, and that's just been wonderful. And I look forward to continuing our friendship. For listeners who are interested in learning more about what you're doing, what's the best way for them to reach out?
LinkedIn. I'd say that's always a good old faithful LinkedIn. Yeah.
That's the digital business card these days. So that's, yeah, indeed. That's no one wants to give out their phone number anymore or their personal email. That's for sure. You'll get bombarded. Well, a couple of things on this episode. Margot, number one, again, this has been fantastic. We call the podcast Success Leaves Clues. You've dropped so many clues today that I think you're going to resonate and help a lot of people. And I just think, especially in today's world, just that theme of kindness is much needed. So hopefully people like yourself and the three of us sitting on here are having an impact and bringing that positivity to other people and doing our part. The second part, we mentioned Jody Kovitz. If you have not listened to Jody's two appearances on the podcast, if you want inspiration and just want to be wowed by just an incredible leader and person in general, go back and listen to those episodes. And if you want to find out more about Corey and who he is and the company that he runs, you would not be disappointed going back and listening to his episodes as well. And I will share that our company, actually, how we got to know Corey very well, we implemented his program and it has been a game changer, a massive game changer for our company. And as a result, I've developed such a good relationship and friendship with Corey. So I'm grateful, Corey, for you being here and co-hosting with me as well today.
I love being here.
And I'm grateful that you connected us. Yeah.
Oh, I remember when I got to introduce you to. I love connecting amazing people together. It's so fulfilling. It's so wonderful to know this amazing person and this amazing person. And you need to know each other. And look, here we are now. And this was great. Robin, thanks again. This was fantastic.
Well, I appreciate you both. That does it for today's episode. I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope everyone out there did too. If you have any questions for ourselves, please feel free to give us a call or rejoin the conversation on LinkedIn. We saw it here today. Success Leaves Clues. We'll see you next time, my friends.